Action.
Yo, yo, yo.
What up?
Yo, 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 yo. 1, 2, 1, 2. What it do? It's your boy, Skeeter Steve.
Jay on the mic.
And welcome to another episode of Lace Rawls, where we give it to you for the culture and by the culture.
You feel me?
Yes. Look who's back in the building, y'all.
Hey, man.
After I done roughed it out, last two episodes, by myself.
You was a grown-ass man, dog. You was a grown-ass man. Look, you started this show doing that. I be in the community. I be coaching. I be with the kids and everything, you know. He had black people scheduled, so, you know, we record on this day, this time. It be moving. I be busy. But I'm here, though. You feel me?
Man, no, it's cool, man. Glad to have you back, though, bro. For real, man. It feels good, man. Oh, man. What a great weekend.
Yeah.
Especially that the NFL is back.
Oh.
There were some great games. I mean.
Some.
Yeah.
That boy Tua is a dog.
And see,
Tua is a dog.
Yeah, bro. And I was going to get to that. Like, out of all the games I was on, by far, that was the best game between the Chargers and Miami.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. If Tua don't get knocked on his ass and he stay healthy, Miami's going to be deadly.
No. It's not going to be deadly. Waddle, Hill, Tua, they are deadly.
Yeah.
They are. Mostert ain't no slouch. Like,
yeah.
They are a deadly team. They are a legit threat. Jacksonville's a legit threat.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since I've seen Jacksonville being a legit threat. Jamar Chase had to eat his words because the elves got him. The elves got him. That's funny, they really did. It was a good one. The Donkeys got beat by my boys, the Raiders. You know what I'm saying? You know how they have to go.
Look,
seven meetings in a row. All Raiders. Seven meetings in a row. All Raiders. I told all the homies, I said, hey man, if you're a Bronco fan, you gotta call me sir. You got to call me sir. We have sons, y'all. And until y'all get a victory, you cannot address me by my name.
Oh, no. Yeah, I feel you on that. And, you know, we put a beat down on them Pittsburgh Steelers. That wasn't expected.
You know,
everybody wasn't expecting that, and they counted us out. They were talking about Kenny Pickett so much. And who was the guy that Ayuk caught over that he said he was going to pick six Purdy?
Peterson?
Yeah. Purdy threw it straight at that nigga right there in the corner. B.A., he was all man-to-man coverage, and B.A. still caught that motherfucker on him. And when they asked Purdy in the locker room, Purdy was like, oh, yeah, that guy that said who's going to pick me? Oosh, I don't know about that.
Look, Purdy going to get his swag. He ain't going to get all the way there, but Purdy going to get his swag about himself. The funny thing is that's how the season started. Wasn't that the first game?
Yes, that was the first game.
So if you like, oh yeah, football on, you know, and you go ahead and you change the channel, you turn the game on. It's like whoa, what happened? What happened? So it was a great way to start football. You know, the Eagles and the Vikings are going at it right now.
Yeah,
and you know, fantasy going crazy, the energy right, but it's a whole lot in hip hop we got to talk about.
Oh yeah, we do.
It's a whole lot.
It's a lot. That went on this week.
Man.
A lot.
Yeah.
Very, very a lot, though. So, yeah. Let's get into it. And, you know, before we always get into commentary of the culture, we always got to give our honorable mentions, you know, in the culture. You know, because, you know, we love hip-hop, and there's always great things, though. But we had to bring this up, and this is none other than the OG.
Hold on. Wait. Let me do the intro.
Okay. All right. This guy. All right.
Living legend. A walking goat, lyrical assassin, but right now is on the greatest run, in my opinion, of his career. The way he's been able to hit us with project after project, quality after quality, the beats have always been able to match his delivery, and the way he raps, and that's something that other producers, in my opinion, haven't always been able to attain.
Oh, man,
but I'm talking no other. No other.
Yeah.
Than the man himself.
Oh, yeah.
Nasty.
Oh, yeah.
Nasty.
Uh-huh.
Nasty. Nas, look, Queensbridge, like, look, Nas right now, what he's doing is really on some LeBron on the Lakers type activity, still bringing the ring, still able to dribble, dunk, shoot. You know, he's out here playing with these young boys because these projects that he's spitting, whether they be King's Disease or Magic, oh my God.
Like, oh my God.
You got to understand. Listen, look. For you young boys that don't know.
Right.
That
talk
don't
to
know.
Talk to him, Jay.
This.
Talk to him.
Is hip hop.
Yes, sir.
Look, all right. So let's get into it.
Oh, man. Hey, that was a great fucking intro.
Hey, but look, I'm heem, not theme. You feel me? I'm heem, not theme.
Right. All right. Well, Nas and Hit-Boy had a historic run since joining forces in 2020 with the release of Magic 3. Later on this week, the duo will finally call it a day and retire their partnership. This past Tuesday, the Queen's MC revealed the third and final installment of the Magic trilogy that will drop on his birthday, September 14th, which is going to be in another 58, it's in some 50 some odd minutes that we're about to get it though. So, but he said this will be a mark of an end of his collaborative tenure with Hit-Boy and inserted the commercial hip hop space for the second time of his illustrious career. I want to thank everyone on this ride with Hit-Boy, and Nas said on social media, it's been nothing short of magical. That was great. And for me, I loved every bit of it because starting off with the first King Disease, when I heard that, that album has so many similarities, even though Nas wasn't in a group. Mm-hmm. But that gave me vibes when Ice Cube went to New York and he dropped his first album, America's Most Wanted. So it was like flip, like how Cube went to the East Coast to work with very, very lucrative, dope producers. It was kind of like Nas going out west and doing the same thing.
I feel it, flipping up the sound. Yeah, but I think rappers should do that more often. Yeah, I think when you blend those sounds, that fusion creates that melting pot of entertainment that we enjoy about the culture. You know, we mash different things together that normally don't go together, but we can pull it off. You know, what we call swag, absolutely, or style, moxie, however you want to call it, but the way they can deliver it. Because, like, this run right now got Nas new fans.
Oh, yeah.
You
got
to understand, like, Nas came back in a second wind like Jordan with the 45. Like,
yes, he did.
Like, the way Nas been moving right now, the bar has been so smooth. But, I said in the intro, I don't believe throughout Nas's career, because Nas lyrically has always been amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like he should be held higher in the culture than he is.
Mm-hmm.
But people have had that knock on him about his production.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people can work and they can really rise to the level of what Nas is. And sometimes it's just a good name that's on a record that can do songs with other people, but they really can't hit the mark with Nas. So Hit-Boy has been able to do that, and not just only do that consistently.
Yeah. And I love that. And just like what you said, the knock on him, it's fucking crazy. So not too long ago, I was looking at his first week sales of all of his albums. And crazy, the highest ranking album of like sales before Stillmatic and all those came out at the time was his third album, I Am. And his lowest ranking sell album, and that one shocked the fuck out of me, was Illmatic. Illmatic only sold 59,000 copies first week out the gate. That's crazy.
Well, you can't look at it just like that in a matter of numbers, because the league was different. You know, that's like an NBA record before there was like when it was like 50 games. And you know what I'm saying is like the reach wasn't the same. The marketing wasn't the same. The opportunity wasn't there. The way to get your message out wasn't the same. We didn't have as many avenues on national networks. You got to understand, Nas was coming out of Queensbridge. The reason it made its name is because it was that quality coming out of a corner.
Okay, I'm agree with you, and I'm going to disagree with you, because at that time, we got to think, like what you said, the playing field was different.
Mm-hmm.
But we still had those, like, he really, really had the hype behind him where, you know, It Ain't Hard to Tell, single drop, Set the World on Fire with that. The World Is Yours. The other one that we're going to get into talk about later, Pete Rock. Pete Rock did the World Is Yours. And it's just all like, for me, I still don't understand, okay, in that time, even though it was physical copies, you sold 59,000, but The Source gave you 5 mics for that album. And we know back in the day with The Source, if you got 5 mics, nigga, you're official. You are really, really official.
My God. Hold on, wait.
And even we're to the point, we're going to go into history. When Raekwon and Ghostface Killah was tripping with Biggie because they felt like Biggie was doing Nas' style of rapping. He had niggas in a chokehold back home.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that just because The Source gave him 5 mics doesn't mean it's going to equate to the sales. He captured the media and the ear before he captured the market.
Exactly. I'll definitely give you that.
You feel what I'm saying? So what has always kept Nas around, to me, has not been the sales, but it's been the authenticity to the craft.
Okay.
You know, and he's like that kung fu monk of hip hop. Like he just be over, he does him and you know not to fuck with him.
Yeah.
Because it can get real bad real fast. You know, like if we be honest, you know, Irv tried that little move where he tried to sign Nas, Nas left and Murder Inc. fell.
Yep.
You know, like you gotta understand the impact of what Nas is, because if Nas had Nas stayed, what could have happened?
Right.
You feel me? How deep could have things have really gotten? Would Nas gotten involved with the 50 Cent beef? Like, it's so many different avenues. Now we got a Nas and 50 era, you know, like Nas going at the biggest giants in New York. Like, the things that could have happened because it's Nas, but he's a gentle giant. That's what he is. He's a gentle giant of New York.
Okay, I feel you. Well, before we get into commentary.
But wait. I got to say one more point.
I'm going to get one off, too.
Okay.
I just want to get one off, too, because he is a GOAT. We're going to do that. So I want to pose this question. What is your least favorite Nas album out of his catalog?
I'm not going to do that to Nas in front of all these people. I'm not going to do that to Nas in front of all these people. But
I'm going to do it. I wasn't a huge fan of Streets Disciple. Streets Disciple wasn't it.
I wasn't a big fan of Hip Hop Is Dead.
Ooh, okay. Commercially, a lot of people like that album. That's crazy.
Because you remember what I said about producers not being able to capture him?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's one of those, like, I wish somebody else would have produced on it.
But you know what, though? In this defense on that album, he didn't rely on Salah Remy so much, though. He did experiment. Like, he used Will I Am, he used Kanye, he used Just Blaze. He experimented on that.
Remember what I said about other producers being able to make these hits with other people, mm-hmm. but not really being able to reach Nas. You see what I'm saying? So speaking reaching back into Nas's catalog, right?
Mm-hmm.
I Can.
Okay.
Right, that beat.
Mm-hmm.
Who else can rock that beat to a number one hit the way Nas did?
That's tough.
Give me one person in the game. Give me somebody back home. Drop it in the comments when you see this. Give me one person in the game that can take I Can. To make that a major hit the way Nas did.
Because you got to understand the way
Nas interjected into hip hop.
Okay.
What he was giving our ears, mm-hmm. versus everything else that was out, a shoot 'em up, bang bang.
Right.
But then we got something to play for the kids. But we got our grown up adults riding around, bumping our head, bumping this in the club, drinking what was it, Nouveau or something back then. like we got to understand, like really what he was doing, mm-hmm. because he's always been able to pop up and be like, oh wait, this is what y'all doing, not me. Boom. And y'all gonna like it.
Yeah.
You know, so the reason I'm not really a huge fan of that album is because I don't believe there's always producers that can work in this level. That's why I like Hit Boy so much with him.
Yeah, no, you know? And I agree though. And I'm before we move on though, definitely throw this out. Another one that had people in the chokehold though, but I mean the B-boy community in the chokehold, the B-boys, they really love I Made You Look. I Made You Look is one of those, and let's just take it further.
That's one of the best freestyle beats of all time.
Hold on, though, but the remix, though, with Jadakiss and Ludacris? My God.
Hey.
My God.
Hey, listen. That is a hip hop giant song. The Made You Look remix is a hip hop giant song. When you listen to the Made You Look remix, it makes you think about Chris Talty, some baggy jeans, and some Air Force Ones on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Make you think about a girl in a jersey dress with some Manolo Blahniks on. Make you think about Jay-Z and Beyonce just coming out being that power couple. It takes you back to an era.
Oh my God!
It takes you back to an era. You know, the Made You Look remix, like, every listen, you used to, the ciphers that you can remember to, the oohs, the ahs, the b-boys, the moves, that would leave you in awe. Huh. Like, that, like I said, this is hip-hop.
Yeah, facts. This is facts. Straight up all facts. So,
all right,
man,
all right, I've been talking Nas all day. What we got next?
Yeah, man, I'm here for Juel Santana.
Okay.
Checks DJ Vlad over Jadakiss.
Oh, Bandana, my God.
Snatching edition when they had got into it, though. So, yeah, we're gonna roll this little clip real fast about
you know
that.
You can't fake real.
You can't.
Can't fake real.
Fucking disrespectful. It's just me personally.
Some shit, Vlad. Shut up, Vlad. Come on, man. You're not gonna do that. You trying to stuff. It was.
No, I'm speaking for me. I'm speaking for me.
Vlad. Stop what you right. doing.
He is a very good. He a little instigator. We know
all
that.
All right. Let's cast the background of what's going on. So, Juel Santana is doing an interview with DJ Vlad, right? You know, Mr. Culture Vulture himself, and. What's going on is that he's talking to him about the infamous verses between Dipset and Jadakiss, which we all know is a major moment in hip hop. Like, I think that's one of those nights where there's a victor, but there's not really a loser, you know. There was a point in time in the middle of the performance where Jadakiss walks up to Juel Santana and he takes off his bandana. So Vlad asked Juel how he felt about it in a way where he's trying to stir up some sort of trouble. So he's trying to instigate something. You know, I always try to stir a pot. And that ruckus that you hear is Juel Santana saying, nah, Vlad, you're not about to do that. You're not about to do that. You know, I got mad respect for Jada. And he's basically big up in Jada. Like, he's not even allowing it to come this way. Which, shout out to you, Juels, for standing on your principles. But I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready for Vlad to be out the culture.
Nah, yeah, me too, though. And first and foremost, so, like, yeah, at the end of the day, it's respect, though, but Vlad, you don't know about battle culture, bro. Battle culture, it gets fucking real.
It gets real,
it gets,
but you leave it there.
Yeah, and we leave it there, straight up. So for you to try to stir the pot, man, yeah, he's looking for clicks.
He's looking for clicks, yeah, and Juel Santana gave him his clicks,
yeah,
but not in the way that he thought,
right?
You know, not every other major media outlet is out here talking about how Vlad got sunned, and nobody gonna miss that moment,
right?
Because Juel Santana was sitting there chilling,
and even went on to say, "Yo, like, we got respect."
But Straight up.
They know what it is when they did that shit that night.
But that's why they did it. That's why they gave it to us that way, because that's, once again, this is hip-hop.
Yeah, and this is fucking culture. This is what we do. And like what he said, at the end of the day, he gave the respect, though. But fucking Vlad, I'm sorry, bro. You tried it, and that shit didn't work. You fucking tried it. No, bro. And yeah, man. One of these days, somebody ain't gonna play with you and gonna hit you upside your head in front of that camera.
Vlad strikes me as the type to have like three random Russian security guards in between, just for no reason. Like some guy named Vladimir and
just coming out there.
That's fucked up. That was fucked up. See, Vladimir is a real name. That's fucked up. The views of each individual host is not reflecting the views of the other. I just want to go ahead and put that out there to everybody. And I'm just going to go ahead and say that was some wild shit right there. He looked like he was trying to sneeze. Like he got like somebody punched him in his throat and he couldn't catch his breath. Like
that was wild.
Like what we got, man?
All right,
got,
man. Up next. So I'm actually here for this, because it's been a minute. He's been doing a lot of films, a lot of TVs, and we haven't heard nothing from him in a minute, though. But it's none other than the Chicago native, the OG, Common, and he is announcing that he is working with a new album with Pete Rock, inspired by 90s hip-hop. So Common has confirmed that he has a new project on the way with Pete Rock, and It will be centered around hip-hop around the 90s. When he was on the latest episode of MSNBC, The Beat with Ari Melber, the Chicago rapper has said, collaborating with the legendary producer, I've been listening a lot of 90s hip-hop because I've been creating a new project. And then he went on to say that I'm working a new album with P-Rock, and it's just that energy music, whether you're a brand newbie in Tribe Called Quest or De La Soul, because they just got their music on streaming, so it's inspired to the air. So, hey, I'm here for it. I think the older crowd is going to be here for it. And it's, what's so crazy, though, we do have some kids, teens, and even people from 18 to 25, you know, because some of us, it's like that too, are considered an old soul. And sometimes having an old soul, you are a fan of certain type of sounds. Even though you are just a fan of period music, though, but it's just certain sounds and certain timelines where it just puts you in, and you just love to vibe out to that shit. Like,
see, ladies and gentlemen, what he's trying to do is he's trying to get in front of me. He's trying to get in front of me right now because I'm not as here for it. See when I read that it was inspired by 90s hip hop, I got a little skeptical. Not because I'm not a fan of 90s hip hop, but how exactly are you going to deliver it? Because the era is somewhat evolved past some of those boom bap beats, you know, and there's certain sounds that may seem a little juvenile. Okay. You feel me?
Okay.
Depending. So the production, I'm hoping the production is right on it. But also at the same time, like, I'm more concerned if it's not right, because I don't need anything like this at the end of Common's, you know, at the end of Common's tenure. You know, you're coming back from acting, you know, it's risky. It's risky because when you left, you didn't owe the game anything. You know, you are yourself a legend in hip hop. You are a GOAT out of Chicago. They definitely look at you that way. You definitely get your respect back home. You definitely did what you deserve. And I don't know if you need to add anything extra. Not that I'm not a fan of Common. If it's a Common freestyle, I'm on there. Common feature, I'm on there. Boom. But to go so niche market with this album, I hope it's executed right. Because if it's executed right, it's a home run hit. Because these type of albums are where you can blend the 90s era but still entertain the era of today. That's beautiful. That's why I believe a lot of people have runs like Big Crit, Russ, Currency, these guys that have these 90s elements themselves when they rap, you know, and it's really just hip hop when you listen to it. So if they can accomplish that with the it's solely produced by Pete Rock.
Yeah, solely produced by Pete Rock.
I just don't want it to sound like only 90s. I need the blend.
And I'm with you on that too, but also too, what this year have done, you know, pretty much we just said, fuck you, we're celebrating the 50th year of hip hop all year. When they sold out Yankee Stadium and you had a lot of the artists that was from that time period going on stage, even like from the late 80s, early 90s from LL. But once they started getting to the Big Daddy Kanes, Queen Latifah, Black Sheep, Naughty by Nature, all these people from that era, the whole crowd was going ape shit. And I just feel like at this time, even LL even said this, and this we're going to get into that next topic because it's segueing to that next topic where it was all like, we got to stop treating hip-hop as if it's like the NFL or the NBA putting the timestamp when somebody's supposed to quit music. No, he said music is timeless. It is very timeless, and I agree with him, man. You're going to have that demographic that's going to want that music. Shoot, you probably might have some a little bit that's younger than that demographic that's going to be checking for that.
But is it enough to support an album released nationally?
I think it would. I wouldn't say it wouldn't be no home run, though, but when this drop, if I could compare this to baseball, this is going to be easily a nice either single or a double. Easy.
If I'm going to compare it to baseball, I'm going to say if you ain't swinging for a home run, why are you swinging?
That too. I ain't going to argue with that either.
I'm not hating. I'm just saying, I don't think you need to add this extra notch in your belt when your belt's already a championship belt. That's it.
This is true.
That's it. But, you know, Common, I wish the best. You know, you are a legend. Once again, full respect is just like, you know, when somebody starts to climb high, you're afraid they're going to fall. Like,
Right.
You know, like that.
No, yeah, absolutely. All right. Last up for our commentary for the culture before we get into Can I Kick It? This has been causing a lot of uproar and some ruckus lately. A&R for United Masters, Juju McLean said 30-year-old rappers need to stop rapping, and this is true or false. Before we get into the clip, I mean, before we get into the conversation, I'm going to play a little clip from that for y'all.
Approaching 30, that are still trying to rap. And you're like, rap is a young man's sport. And the reason I say rap is a young man's sport, you got to think about how you are even positioning marketing, how you're who you're talking to, demographic.
That and then this, so my thing
is like
said.
Is really targeting your demographic, right? And understand who your demographic is. If you're 30 years old trying to rap, most we probably live the same type of lifestyle. We've probably done the same type of things or have experienced the same things at our age. I'm 31.
Yeah.
So we probably have done the same exact things.
Yeah.
So your demographic is probably that 24 to 34 age.
Yeah.
Who you're really trying to target. But the reality is now a lot of people that are in that demographic are entering into the business world. They're entering into a family lifestyle. They're entering into, like, they have job security. Like, they're getting to a place where they're establishing their career. So they're.
You know.
Go on ahead, because I got to get some shit off on that.
I can see his point on from a devil's advocate perspective, you know, saying like, because there's a lot of hip hop today that's in the exact same genre of what I used to listen to when I was a kid. That I'm not even, it doesn't appetize me. I'll go dig in a crate and play something from 2003. I was banging Beg for Mercy the other day, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm that more than likely I'm gonna reach in the past, but. When it comes to what he was talking about, like establishing careers, building families and everything like that, like I can see what he's talking about. But at the same time, you know, my son knows who Nipsey is. You know, he's been able to study him. He's been able to listen to him the way I've listened to him, and I've been able to coach him and talk to him like, okay, this is how he grew up from the street mentality, but listen to what he speaks about business and how, and who else have you heard rapping about business? So now he has affinity for that and he loves Nip. So, but needs to stop rapping is a rough statement, you know. Back in the day, Hov was telling people when to grow up. So you know, Hov was telling people when to grow up back in the day. So I it's not like hip hop hasn't done this before, you know. But it was Hov that said it.
Yeah, true. And speaking of that, and I'm going to say this, I disagree. With that statement, and the reason why I disagree with that statement, just a couple of episodes ago, we were just talking about 2 Chainz rebrand.
Mm-hmm.
We were like 25, 26 when Based on a True Story came out. 2 Chainz was 36 when that album came out. Now, I'm really about to blow y'all fucking minds right now. Check this out. He want to say it's a young man's game. Watch this. Big Daddy Kane was born September 1968. Jay-Z was born December 1969. Kane and Jay-Z is only a year apart. When Kane came out and LL and them, they were like 18, 19, 20. They were fucking kids, bro. When Jay-Z first came out, Jay-Z was 26. But you say this is your young man's game. Jay-Z didn't really hit that prime until like, what, mid-30s?
I'd say early 30s.
Well, still early mid-30s. Just think about that. He wasn't a young man.
True.
That's not young. It's not, to me.
Your examples are legends.
Yeah, no, yeah. But I could still even dig into that deep and more. And if we're really going to go into the rabbit hole, this is my issue with that statement. We be so judgmental on hip hop, but when we look at the other genres, Aerosmith, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, these niggas in their 60s still putting out music and still touring.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we the only genre that like to put an age limit on some shit?
Because I believe it's more so content related. Why are you doing this as a grown ass man? You know, there's some things that, yeah, I listen to it. I rap, you know, some of the things in rap. But at 36 years old, I ain't doing that shit, bro. I'm at the house with my goddamn wife and my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, we watching the new Little Mermaid and my daughter sitting here, you know, reenacting the scenes. And this is my life now, and it's beautiful and it's dope. But I don't need to be out running the streets, you know, trying to press issues and find smoke and everything like that and try to build a name and build a rep. Like, that part is a young man's game. So if he's talking about, you know, the rap related to that, I can understand it. But that doesn't mean that you can't change what you are rapping about, how you're rapping, what you're doing with it, or if you are going to be in that, just continue to push that lifestyle. You know, like, you just now see 2 Chainz coming out with his son for his podcast. You didn't see 2 Chainz kids before us. You didn't see 2 Chainz kid before
yeah,
at all.
Yeah,
you ain't see him at all, you know. So he's making that brand shift. And
I'll even say this, because like what I said, next to Kendrick, 2 Chainz is my second favorite rapper. I saw the shift when he dropped Rap or Go to the League, the first opener, Forgiven, with Marsha Ambrosia. Like, he touched people's soul on that. And then he had, you heard, Knife Wonder did a couple of beats on there. Like, you could hear the cadence and the flow and the change. Like, he was, like, evolving as an artist, but not only that, evolving as a man. Like, literally, Rap and Go to the League. Like, me, I felt like that was 2 Chainz' conscience album.
You caught me with the Kendrick straight to 2 Chainz. I'm gonna be honest with that. You caught me I wasn't expecting. You go from Kendrick straight to 2 Chainz. That's a little. Yeah, that's a leap. I ain't saying 2 Chainz not great. I'm not saying 2 Chainz not great, but whoo, that's like, wow.
No, but 2 Chainz could really fucking rap. Yeah, that's why I like him. This nigga got bars. Ooh, man, to me though, but 2 Chainz, in my opinion, he was just like the best of both worlds. Like, you know, and the fact that, you know, him being from Atlanta and doing it like that. I could give you some lyrical and bar shit.
Okay.
And I can give you that. I can give you that club shit too.
I'm gonna give you Scotch Percy. 2 Chainz a better rapper than Tupac?
Well, like, that's two different eras.
But what that got to me?
That's two different eras, bro. Okay. I mean, like, if you would have gave me somebody from that era, I'd be like, all right, though. But for me, I try not to. Okay. Oh, LeBron is better than Jordan. No, I like when I break people down, I break them down within eras. Like, and for me,
barbershop,
like,
battleground rules for your boy. Anything goes, everything goes. Fantasy draft, and I'm cussing like a motherfucker the whole way through it. I might start sweating a little bit. I might order me some food because I know I'm about to be here for a little while. You know what I mean? But that's just how I like that. That's why I love the culture, because we get passionate about what we create as a people. You know, like somebody was sitting down, rolled up something, created this idea out their head, and now the culture is sitting back passionately discussing it. You know, and that's real FUBU for us, by us.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's real, like, and that's what I love so much.
But I can't do that. I can't compare
Kendrick to Chainz. I'm not knocking Chainz. I'm not knocking. That's just the first time I heard that one. That's just the.
When I tell people that really throw people off.
2 Chainz, like 2 Chainz is a better rapper than J. Cole. Like,
I'm not saying he better though, but I mean, he is to me. I will put 2 Chainz in the starting five from that.
From this era?
Yeah.
You put 2 Chainz in the starting five of this era?
Because you got to think.
Who's your five?
Okay,
who's your five?
My five, and I'll give you my six, man. So my five, I'm putting, like, no matter how I feel about it, like, okay, I'm putting the three-headed monster. And the reason why, too, not going to lie, like, Drake music is not hitting as much so, but I'm going to tell you, I am a fan.
I got hope for the dogs. You know, yeah. I got hope for it. It just feels different. Like, okay, I'm done with the bullshit. But go on.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm definitely a fan of Take Care. Definitely a fan of Nothing Was the Same. I think that's his best album by far. Like, literally by far. And I went to that show.
If
2000.
You're
yeah.
It's too
no,
late.
I'm going to say that. I was going to say that too. And, like, he did make it an album, but before the album, it was a mixtape.
Yes,
let's
it
not
was.
Get
yes,
it
was.
Twisted. It was a mixtape.
Yep.
So, yeah, the three headed is going up there. Kendrick, Drake, and Cole. That's easy.
Okay.
No spots or not. 2 Chainz. I'm putting 2 Chainz right there. And I will have to put Wale Before the Fall Off. Before the Fall Off. Back to the Future, Knife Wonder, Mixtape About Nothing. The second one, Still Mixtape About Nothing. For Lauren, Ambition. Yeah, like, he's up there. His first album, ADD, like, you know. But after Ambition, you get to The Gifted, not it. CC White, not it. Album About Nothing, not it. But on the flip side, okay, you give a Summer on Sunset, that mixtape was fire. You know, the little few EPs that he had, that was fire. I wasn't even a fan of Wow, That's Crazy. So, yeah, and I always said this, too. Like, if I have to choose, I like Mixtape Wale better than Album Wale. Mixtape Wale is better than Album Wale. And then my sixth man that's really, really coming off that bench, sixth man, because, I mean, that fucking run was just fucking very impeccable, and it is a two-way tie. I'm going to have to put, it's going to be a tie between Wiz Khalifa and Mac Miller. Both of their runs were fucking crazy. Both of their runs were crazy. And they were label mates at that time, too. Both on Rostrum Records. That run was crazy.
All right. Y'all ready to hear some sense? Y'all ready to hear some real sense right now? I felt him on Three-Headed Monster. You got to put Drake, Kendrick, and Cole. You have to. It just doesn't. It's not a list in this era if you don't have them.
Right. And if you don't, you're tripping. Like, I'm going to really call you a hater. Straight up.
Number four, Rick Ross. Rick Ross.
I'm not mad at that.
Has flipped rapping into multi-million dollar brands.
Yeah, that brand was crazy.
Right. So, but the way he's done it in his whole process, and I'm gonna be honest, I don't care if you're like I'm just somebody that's a responsible tax-paying adult. I don't care if your background fake. Tupac's was. So, and I said it. Do your research. I said it. But he's a GOAT. He's a GOAT. But I don't care how many people you kill for your music to be good. You know, so Rick Ross, so I got Drake, Kendrick, Cole, Rose.
And then who takes the fifth spot?
Number five?
Yeah. Number five, and who's coming off the bench?
I gotta give the Nip.
Okay.
I gotta give five to Nipsey.
I'm not mad at that.
Because what Nipsey did for the West Coast because Kendrick is West Coast, but his style isn't very West. It's more miscellaneous, unique. Only he can do it. Hold on, back up about your boy.
Cut his mic off.
The
only thing I'm just gonna say, and niggas gave me slap for this, so, but this is my opinion. All Kendrick Lamar is, and I love him to death, but Kendrick Lamar, all he is a Razzcast 2.0. Think about it.
Cap. Anyway, so so with it's Kendrick, Cole,
mm-hmm.
Drake,
mm-hmm.
Rose, mm-hmm. Nipsey.
Okay, who's coming off the bench?
My off the bench?
Oh yeah, who's coming off the bench?
Hot Spitter, Currency.
I'm not mad at that.
Currency's listen.
And I had him for number seven.
No, hold on. I don't know why he building the whole depth chart, right? But you're talking to your man Phil Action Jackson right here, all right? This is winning time for your boy right here. We about to go for a three-peat. What I'm talking about is when you think about Currency's run, right? Mm-hmm. He had that unfortunate ending at Young Money.
Right.
Where is the rest of Young Money?
Nowhere to be found.
Where is the rest of Young Money? And Young Money has some people on it. Mm-hmm. You feel me? I rocked with Short Dog. Short Dog was one of the dopest rappers to me, but he didn't make that same tenure. However, Spitta hit you with a mixtape every 2 weeks like a paycheck. Yeah. And really beat us across the head like, hey, this cold. Independence Day is still one of my favorite mixtapes from Spitta. And what he's been able to do. And now he's been able to get the respect that he deserves at this time now. And I feel Currency the Hospital is the new era of the UGKs, the Underground Kings.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
And you can't
deny him.
And even not only the mixtapes, though, He got some dope albums. The whole Pilot Talk series.
The Pilot Talk series. Yeah, he got some great albums. I'm talking about his entire Immaculate. Run. His entire run. But I'm saying with his mixtape run to revitalize his career. I want to see the room he recorded in. Want to see the room he recorded those mixtapes in because that's probably one of the biggest flips in hip hop ever. But currency. So my list, me, mm-hmm. your boy Jay. You got Drake,
mm-hmm.
J. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick Lamar.
Yes, sir.
Rick Ross.
Yes, sir.
Nipsey Hussle.
Yes, sir.
And Six Man coming off the bench. Currency the Hospital.
Yes, sir. More of the story is.
Who list is better? Put it in the comments right now. Yeah. Who's your list?
The Three-Headed Monster. 2 Chainz. Wiz Khalifa and Mac. And Wale.
That's seven people anyway. But
of the two-way tie.
Anyway, your boy right here, so he got his, and then I got Three-Headed Monster, which is Drake, Kendrick, and Cole. All right, we got Rick Ross, Nipsey Hussle, and Currency the Hospital. Put in the comments whose list is better, and you spell my name J-A-Y. Holla.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. But moral of the story is, at the end of the day, I still don't believe that hip-hop is not a young man's game. Hip-hop is for everybody. You have now you have age brackets.
You can't put an age limit on culture.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, like, for me, like, when I knew it was official, just watching the live stream of that huge hip-hop concert that they did at Yankee Stadium, that was fucking dope. That was dope, though. But I'm here for it. All right. It's about that time. Let's get into it. Can I kick it? Man, oh man. Definitely, man. It's a lot. Some stuff that I ain't gonna front though. That I fuck with. That's coming. Well, first up. Nike ACGs. Tour Admit returns this holiday season for 2023. They said they known as the All Condition Gears, hold a cherished spot, Hearts of Nature Lovers, the ACG Tour, YP Vintage from the 1995 GM, making a splendid return this holiday season of 2023. The revive boasts of upper canvas of Adorum plush and suede accent. Its palette combines with earthy tones, lively bursts of colors, the iconic swoosh, and elegantly graces midfoot. The distinctive ACG logo, proudly to adorns of the heel. And then you can anticipate this arrival of this festive holiday upcoming 2023 on Nike Sportswear, both in-store, online, and at Nike.com. And these is only going to be hitting for $150, which ain't bad. You know, got that... Got that navy, one pair got that navy and with that little bit of green on there. And then another one, you have a little bit of gray with a black swoosh and the ACG sign with purple. And that one, they're going to have a color blend laces with purple and yellow. And the other one, blue and green. I ain't going to lie. As much as me not being a fan of Tim's, and I'm saying it, yeah, on camera, I'm not a fan of Tim's. I fuck with these. And I would literally wear these straight up. Straight up. That's how I feel, and I said what I said. I'm talking my shit right now.
Give me the Tim's. I think these Johns is, you know what I mean? That was good for an era,
mm-hmm.
you know, not everything you can bring back for the same success. The laces on the gray pair, it just screams like a Timberland boot ready for a track meet. And I'm not really like, you know, and I rock with the ACGs, but uh-huh. I rocked with the ACGs back when I was a younger man. You know, I'm still going to go with the Timberland boots, blue jeans, and the white tee because that's a hip-hop cultural right. look. But also, I grew up in Tim's. I was uh-huh. probably one of the few cats in Vegas rocking Tim's like that. But I was because, you got to understand, my influence is Wu-Tang. You know, you got Hov, you got DMX, and I don't ever think I seen DMX in a sneaker. I can't remember seeing DMX in a sneaker.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I think he was always in boots.
Boots, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, like, always in boots.
But, you know, but when it come around to the fall time, I always rock with Timberland boots because fall time is the time for fashion.
Oh,
that's really when you get jiggy. And Tim's really, you know, Of course, you got to keep the wheats. But there's a few other colors that, you know, they've been able to drop, the maroons, pine greens. You know, it's been real smooth, and I've been able to rock a certain kind of way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm passing on the ACGs. Hey, see you later. But he ain't gonna rock the Timbs, but I will.
No, but like what I said, I'm definitely.
He just mad because he's gonna look like a Wayne head with the Timberland boots on.
Wayne. Hey, that was my shit though. But I think these are smooth. Pull these off with some blue jeans, black jeans. Some cargos, like, just keep it simple, and I just love the palette on there, on the ones on the bottom with that navy and with that green. Give me like flannel vibes too as well. So I mean,
yeah, low key.
Yeah, like it's dope though.
If I want to chop a tree down, I'll give me a pair.
All right, Paul Bunyan. Yes, sir.
You ain't catch the chop a tree reference. Peace out. Oh, 20. All
right. Next up. Adidas Crazy Infinity Triple Blacks will be dropping next month. Making its debut, the detail look on the Adidas Crazy Infinity is a new model that draws inspiration from the Adidas Crazy One, which is the shoe that was originally designed for Kobe back in 2000. Done in an official color scheme as a core black, carbon cloud white, and sleek colorway, the Adidas Crazy Infinity features a breathable mesh upper zipper paired up with the distinctive shroud of the aesthetics and the unique model of the shoe. Retailing at $160, look for this Adidas Crazy Infinity Triple Black on October 15th at select retailers and Adidas.com.
Oh my God!
I don't know about these.
Hold on. I got something to say about these 48-hour limited edition sneakers. these first 48. I really don't rock with these moon boots. You know, I didn't rock with them when Kobe had them. And then they spun a whole look off him because Kobe's popularity. I believe that happened after he left Adidas. But I really don't, like, just like I said, you can't bring back everything.
Yeah, you really can't.
And the cool part about it is, like, when you really look at these, the hell you wearing with these? What is the occasion for? Now, if you want to go hooping, you know, cool, you know, rest in peace, East Bay, but that's what East Bay was for.
Right.
They outfit the whole squad for it. But a major, hey, we're about to bring these back. Like, I would rather see them bring back the Crazy 8s in conjunction with the NBA 2K24. You know, y'all missed the opportunity. Your boys out here are marketing genius. So you bring back the Crazy 8s when NBA 2K24 drops, right, and then you got something to push that. Mm-hmm. But I just don't understand. Like, I feel like I just want to go kick, like, old Cutlass Supremes with these on. Like, they just make me want to go, like, do backflips in a junkyard. Like, I just don't.
Oh, my God!
I just don't know what occasion you wear these at. These is like some, these the shoes they give you when you graduate CSI school. You know, you got to wear these on forensic scenes and everything. Like, doctors and nurses wear these, John. They come with a pair of scrubs and a Starbucks gift card. Like, I really don't rock with these, man. I really don't.
Man. I don't have too much to say on these, but they're just utterly trash. I'm sorry. Like they're trash. Like, Triple Black. Now if they're coming out with these first, they're gonna fuck up their marketing. The marketing is gonna be all bad on these because originally they had a sample color that was floating out. It was like an off-white cream with this black, though. Now, when I seen those, I was like, okay, you might be able to do something with that, though. But to have this to come out to be a first shoe, a Triple Black, that ain't it. That Adidas, that's not the move. I know y'all hurting since Ye left. Y'all don't want to admit it, but y'all really over there hurting. Because people are not buying Adidas like that. And y'all just going through a little quick little phase right now because the only Adidas that we're seeing people buy is the Sambas, the Campuses, and even some Gazelles. Because it's a hype right now because, you know, that 90s, 80s aesthetics is in right now. Where they want to wear shoes like that with, you know, with super baggy jeans.
Well, let me say this. I got to disagree right there. I think that Adidas, like the Air Force One, like the Chuck Taylor, like the Timberland boot, like the Air Jordan, like the Nike Dunk, like the Question. Like there's certain silhouettes of sneakers that are part of the culture.
Oh no, yeah, you know? absolutely.
I think that regardless of the era, like K-Swiss fell off. Adidas not gonna fall off.
Yeah, yeah. K-Swiss, you know, like
Lugs fell off. Timlin boots not gonna fall off. You know, certain things that are part of the culture. They're not gonna fall off.
I ain't gonna lie though. All it takes is one person to wear it, and it's gonna pick right back up. Just like now, like we see the resurgence of Dunks and how that whole surge came about. Fucking what is Kim Kardashian's sister name? The little sister. I can't think of her name right now. The one who had a baby with Travis Scott. I can't think of
Kylie?
Her. Yeah. So
wait, is it?
Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
So
you definitely can tell we don't watch that shit. Man, yeah, shout out to y'all. Get y'all money though. Hey, but if you ever want to interview,
right, we're here. Well, anyway, back to the story. Like, and our boy Quez is in the back end. Quez probably he'll agree with me on this. Dunks were sitting at all the Nike stores for $40, $50, $60. Yeah, like Haswell, straight up. And all it took for her to wear some damn Dunks, and Dunks got popular overnight. Yeah, they got popular overnight because of her.
I'm glad you mentioned that $150, $160, $210 for Dunks. Like, bro, these is Dunks. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, can you imagine paying $170 for a Chuck? Right. Like $230 for a Chuck, like, right. And there are some people that do. Yeah. But then they had they run because everybody was putting those their prints and patterns on Air Force Ones, and then Dunks just started to drop the crate when SB hit. It gave Dunk a.
And can't hear you. Absolutely. No, yeah, man. So it's just crazy because that's all we see, and that's where a lot of the hype is coming from. Where they seeing these celebrities, like what you said, K-Swiss fell off, but let somebody Lotto.
No. Nope.
Fucking Cardi got a Reebok deal.
Nah, K-Swiss not coming back, my boy.
Walmart, bro, that don't count. So I think that's a great segue to say the Dunk is a beautiful silhouette. Isn't there a Dunk coming out?
Yeah. He over here. Bro,
go buy some K-Swiss tomorrow if that's the case.
You don't even know where to get no K-Swiss right now. I'll wear my K-Swiss. No, you don't.
Oh shit. No, but hey man.
But
hey,
look, my boy Quez said, right? Dunk got something beautiful coming out. Now everything in the vault can't come back.
And before you bring that out, let me say this. I love Dunks. I think they're a beautiful silhouette. But I don't think they're worth $150.
No, yeah, they're not.
Cultural infraction.
Yeah.
I pay flag on the play for my What the Dunks. Outside of pharmacy, like it was the culture for me.
Yeah,
right.
But the Dunks is something that's unique and limited enough. But that's still what it was retail. But they got a fire colorway coming out. They got a fire colorway coming out. Borrowed from the Nike Air Max 90. Right. If you do know what the bacon colorway is, right? When you have the hints of the brown. The white, the red, the pink. Right? But put together so smooth. I really feel like this sneaker was designed by Andre 3000 or Pharrell or Farnsworth Bentley or something. Does feel like a cardigan. Like I'm about to I'm on my grown man when I wear these.
See,
like
man, look,
like Jay-Z changed clothes. But
we giving out the goods now.
But let me talk. All you gotta do is follow me and I can take you somewhere you wanna go. But what I'm saying is that Nike has put the bacon colorway on top of the Dunk Low and Boy, is it beautiful.
Oh my God.
Now, this is how you do sneakers.
This is
one of those Johns where you walk in and you somebody see you and be like, hey, where'd you get those? It's one of those sneakers. You take these off and you sacrifice your socks so you can walk in the rain with this sneaker. Like, this sneaker is something that you take care of. This is a date sneaker. This is we take a family picture sneaker. This ain't a club sneaker where somebody might step on this. This needs to be seen, not touched, baby. Seen, not touched.
And that's a fact, though, man. But let's get into it, though. The Bacon colorway, which take the cues from the iconic Air Max 90 Bacon release. This particular Dunk Low showcases a palette of reminiscence of the beloved predecessor with its cell tumble leather, which I'm glad they did that. Fan of that tumble leather. They've been killing it lately on the Jordan 1 Lows, especially the Lows with that tumble leather right now. With the red suede. Okay, you got me sold. It's a red suede because the Bacons, it was a red leather. But the red suede, you got me sold on. Got me sold on that. Along with brown accents of the mesh tongue tags and heel tags bring the design to life. This look around the white midsole sitting at a brown rubber outsole for those eager closer looks. So keep your eyes out on the Bacon Low. These will be hitting shelves holiday season 2023. Nike.com. And this is a women's shoe, so you know how the size and go for men's. And the price for these, $125. Nike, y'all still killing me with that price now. This shoe is dope, and this is a guaranteed cop. But come on, bro, $125. Like,
highs used to didn't
cost that much. Months, they didn't. They did.
Highs was what, 90?
Yeah, and I think lows. 89,
99?
Yeah. Lows were like
79?
I was going to say 75, something like that.
No, yeah, man, but this palette right here, like Jay just told you, with all like the fits that, like, you know, you can go with. What? Like, you know what? Like, for me, Sims, a nigga like me, I'll be so super smegular regular with this, with some gray sweats and throw like a red and black flannel or with a white tee, just super super regular, just to throw it off, like really throw it off and throw on either like a, you know, a red LA cap. Or find a cap, a pink cap that color. I mean, just throwing the colors off, just making it really
and
look
that's
good.
That's a real B-boy outfit of you because that's super just relaxed. And
yeah,
regular.
And the crazy thing that you said that these past couple of years, I've been noticing people doing it, but specifically women doing that where they're wearing a regular flannel with a regular white tee and with some either some gray sweats or some black sweats and some sneakers.
It's the boyfriend style. I would dress these up a little more.
Yeah.
I'm going with the earth tones. I'm probably playing off the browns. Probably wearing with a trench coat, maybe a scarf or something. You know what I'm saying? I want to go the long coat. You know what I'm saying?
So
when you see the bottom of the coat. Yeah. Boom, they popping. You feel me? So I'm gonna keep it real down, cool, earth tone. Play with the different colors of chocolate. Probably throw some maybe a white turtleneck or something like that. You know, match with and everything. Cool little scarf, gold glasses. You know what I'm saying? It's holiday season. You know what I mean? I'm about to take some pictures or something. You know what I mean? I need to be seen.
I want
to
be warm and cozy. That's what
warm and cozy and everything.
I was thinking of like a sail cardigan. I
mean,
like a sail turtleneck with like a burgundy cardigan, whatever color that's.
Yeah.
And then maybe like some slacks, some Dockers, you know, something real.
Something smooth. But when like a young sneakerhead see me, he'll be like, okay, OG. One of them.
No,
you running those guys. Like, you know
what I'm saying? That's super, super clean. I would do everything that what you do, but what I would do like with the Dockers or with some khakis, so, because I've been noticing like I've been doing that style and it is super dope. I can pull it off. Taper the khakis enough where you can see the sock a little bit.
It's not sitting up high,
mm-hmm. but it's just right.
I'm definitely gonna do that. It's just right.
Man, make the shit around my ankle. That's all I'm saying.
I need a turtleneck on my ankle, baby. Hook me up real quick.
Yeah, and it's just right. And like, you know, they're like, oh, okay. It's still like, it's like you in the best of both worlds, so that like it still give that grown man vibe, but that young swag
to
it.
You know what? That's Quez just made a good point. That's what made the dunk so great, because you can do anything with the dunk.
Yeah, Yes.
100%. You could do any. Like, yes. You can't dress up Air Force One with that big ass soul. It looked like you about to jump out the Apollo 13 on the moon or something. Like,
baby Wayne had ass looking.
You feel me? Like, look, if you, that's why they say that black Air Force One energy, because if you was to kick or stomp somebody with them soles, it is assault with a deadly weapon.
Right, it's over.
It's equal to 6 pistol whips if you kick somebody one time on their forehead. I'm telling you, but, you know, that's what it is, and I feel like about the, when it came to the sneakers today, the Bacons blew everybody out the water.
No, it really did.
I'm not looking at the ACGs.
Fuck with
work,
but I fuck with these Bacons.
Feel me? Yeah, oh, yeah. These is Muslim approved.
Yeah, it's not
haram. He said Muslim.
Oh, is that wrong? Is that wrong? If that's wrong, my bad.
There's no U in Muslim. I mean, there is a U, but it's not like a hard U.
Oh, my God!
No, but I'm definitely with you on that ACG, but only one of them, the Navy, yeah. Navy and the green. That was a cop for me.
I told y'all earlier off camera, I would hike the shit.
That's probably a cop. Right.
Bro, I beat him up in a pair of sweats and just go get lost outside.
I'd be the freshest guy at Home Depot with them Johns on. I'm straight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then,
hey man, I need a bucket.
Right. And then them Adidas.
Where your screws at?
Them fucking Adidas. Trash. Hey,
look, I'm telling you. Trash. Them the Foot Soldier 5s, bro.
Foot Soldier 5.
Hey, when you, like, I was with you spot on if they would have released the Crazy 8s.
Yes.
Like, right. Those are the shoe that was one of Kobe's.
That's the Kobe Adidas sneaker.
They usually don't translate to the street with them.
Yeah. Right, yeah, it don't. Yeah.
It was one of them ones.
It is one of the few sneakers that they have in their repertoire that truly has a street identity. You know?
That in like a Laker pack, like a black home and away.
Boom. You feel me? Like, and then all you got to do is talk to Vanessa. Let Vanessa get with Vanessa.
They already selling the baby jersey.
You feel me?
Right, no, yeah, man, that, and then last but not least, so I think we're all in agreements with the Bacon. Yeah. Nike Dunk Low that's dropping this holiday season. Man, holiday season, I just realized it was about to be fucking crazy. Like, so.
Why?
The Reimagine Lows is coming out. I mean, the ones is coming out, but the OG ones, black and blue, but it's going to be a suede one. The satin bread ones are dropping. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are dropping. The cherry red 12s are dropping.
So like I got a better chance to get these Bacons than I thought.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because I'm be honest, like, these Bacon Dunks are one of my favorite drops of the year.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I think they're going to get overlooked. That's just how, like, you know, this coming weekend, I'm going to just wait so I can use that Nike discount. The playoff 8s are dropping this weekend, and I think a lot of people are going to overlook those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the game is changing a little bit. I think it's starting to fizzle out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I won't say fizzle out, but calm down.
Yeah. And they're
trying to hype beast some stuff, but the culture is simply saying like, mm-mm. Bro, I'm not paying $190 for dunks.
In a recession, we can't be buying.
No. Yeah. And that's the reason why a lot of things are definitely sitting, and that's giving people of the culture that actually enjoy sneakers and like wearing their sneakers, okay, they're like, okay, next month I'm gonna go back and get this. Oh, that's sitting. I'm gonna get this. I'm gonna get
back
that.
Back in the day, like 50 pair of like a size run, bro. Like that was pretty common to see.
Yeah, nowadays,
you don't really see too many people buying them full size runs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's crazy. All right, let's get into it. Check the ROM. Had an album from Cameron, 38 Special, and then a compilation album with Mike and Keys, aka the Futuristics, though. But let's get into this Cameron, Lost Files, Volume 1. 8 tracks, 25 minutes long. And I ain't gonna lie, man, I'm like, I wasn't here for it.
You know,
I said earlier when
I say, you know, you don't need to add certain things because, you know, trying to recreate a sound that is so delicately put together, blending these eras, these monster eras of hip hop together.
Mm-hmm.
Just not anybody can do it. And also, I think like Cam is one of those OGs that can sit in the corner, you know, and just come to a feature every now and then. He can consult, he can counsel, you know. But I really think his bag is this sports show with Mace.
Yeah.
And because the way they discuss sports is how we talk. And we've been waiting for that the whole time. And that's why we rock with Shannon and the way he talk. And that's why we sometimes rock with Steven and the way he talk and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's unfiltered with Cam and Mace. So I'm like, I don't think y'all need to rap anymore. I think y'all found y'all spot. You know, like Nori, I don't think you need to rap anymore. I think you found your spot.
Found
Gilly,
your lane.
You found your lane. Y'all do y'all thing and run it up that way, because I don't think you need to add further notches in your hip-hop album belt, especially when the punch isn't as strong as what you were known as in your heyday.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely, though. But and I agree with you 100%, and that's the reason why, like, I wasn't feeling the Lost Files, and it's a volume one, so I'm guessing we're going to get another one.
No.
Yeah, nah. But started off with Run It Up, Go and Get It, Critics, Get Mobs Regardless. Top of Pyramids with Styles P, that was okay. When I got to Blow My High, I'm all like, Cam, what are you doing? what are you doing?
Got further
My God.
And then you get to Shaking, and then only Money. Like, I was
I love you, Cam. I love you, Cam, but this is how I feel about the album. hey, you got it. You got it. Go ahead. Talk.
No, no, but like, for me, like, I wasn't feeling this, so, man, in a scale 1 to 10, I would definitely have to give it possibly a 5.5, unfortunately. A 5.5, man. Like, yeah, so, yeah.
Once again, I say, if you ain't going to swing for a home run, then why swing?
Right. No, yeah, absolutely. Like,
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, no, but if y'all like it, go ahead and check it out. If you haven't even listened to it yet, go ahead and check it out. You guys might have a different opinion than we
ain't
do.
Ain't missing nothing.
you definitely ain't missing nothing. All right, next up, we got
Special Machinery.
Yes.
38 Special.
Yeah, 38 Special. And who was that? Conway.
And you know what? I like 38 Special because, like, I feel like he was the unknown bonus of Griselda.
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely.
You know, everybody knows Westside, Conway, and Benny. But, you know, when you really dig in, you would listen to the features and be like, who's that? Who's and he has a unique sound to himself. Like, he has a unique tone of his voice. But bars, nonetheless.
Oh, no,
bars.
Yeah, absolutely, bars. Yeah. I fuck with him, and I fuck with Boley James heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very, very heavy, though. But Special Machinery, I'm fucking with it.
Griselda has their own lane, and they continuously push in that lane. And if they're a new age version of that gritty hip-hop, you know, over the beats with the bars, you know, give me a very Mobb Deep, M.O.P. blend, you know, lyrical, but still gritty and rough in your face and hard, you know, but at the same time, witty. I love what Griselda does for hip hop because that sound was missing for a little while.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. And y'all can't say they ain't got the bitches. Me and Jay, we were there. There were bitches at that Benny the Butcher show. Griselda got the bitches.
Oh yeah.
Griselda got the bitches, bro.
It ain't even about, you know, Griselda got the ladies and everything. It's that ladies love hip hop.
That too.
You know, ladies. But yeah,
But you be having these, but I'm just saying, though, like, when they be trying to talk bad about these niggas who do music like that, you got these niggas in the industry that always try to say, oh, women ain't checking for that music, or these bitches ain't checking for that. Man, you're lying.
I don't give a damn what they say that, but like, simply because I know what hip. If these are the facts of hip hop that I know, then I'm gonna discount whatever bullshit you tell me.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely though. But this collab joint that they did, I'm fucking with it.
Yeah.
The intro was dope. Latex was dope. Last week, been through with El Camino. I fucks with him heavy. I like him. Special Machinery, Fireplace, Goodfellas, Unruly, Made Bosses, and We Outside. Like,
Griselda don't really slip.
They don't.
No, they do
they
what they
don't
do.
Miss.
They give me D-Block energy.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yes.
give me D-Block
energy. And you know who else, though, that we definitely don't talk about enough? And I put, no, I, and, Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They all have like little islands that are.
And the islands
exactly.
are yeah, and the islands.
But they only like worry about what they do.
Well, they often they like the Galapagos. Or
yeah.
Bro.
No. Yeah.
They substantial.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
But they just off in the cut and they do their own thing.
Yeah. And the ladies in the camp too, Shay Noor and Armani Caesar.
I think I only heard one of them. She was still,
bro,
like, it was
fire.
I'm listening to Armani.
Bro, they both fire.
Yeah, it was.
Armani cold.
Yeah,
it
wasn't bad.
They got something. It's definitely like a young team that continues to grow and what they're going to be able to do. But the only challenge that I could ever see about Griselda is crossing over, you know, when it comes to but. You know, if they, like I say, if you do the right, hey, hit boy, holla Griselda. You seem to do miracles, my
oh,
guy.
Oh, yeah, he did. You know he did it. Remember, he did that joint with Benny.
A joint. I'm talking about an album.
No, yeah. If I had to,
I would listen to a Benny hit boy. Didn't they do a mixtape?
No, they did an album. That was a whole album.
Yeah, that was
album.
They did do an album. That's right.
Yeah, that was the whole fucking album.
I said it and started hearing it in my head. I'm like, hold on, wait. No, they did do that album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, look, this is how I knew when that nigga Benny was special on that album.
Benny's
that nigga said, I'm the only rapper that would ever thrive in the Tupac era. When that nigga said that, I was like, oh, you different.
Girl,
you different.
That was what, Famous?
Yeah.
Yeah, Famous.
You different.
Famous. And that's the one with Lil Wayne, right?
Yeah. I was like, when he said that, I was
Benny
like, you is
no.
different.
Listen. I stand on it. I will barbershop argue. You know when you squeeze, when you scream, when you see the veins in your neck?
Right.
I will do that. Benny is the best in Griselda.
No, yeah, man. And if I had to compare them, and y'all know me, y'all know, love wrestling. I'm a wrestling fanatic. If I had to compare them to any faction, Griselda and that whole camp alone would have to be the NWO because they're always constantly growing and growing and growing.
I was thinking the Wolfpack, but the Wolfpack came out.
I was thinking Nation of Domination.
I can see that.
Nation was off. They did their own thing.
I can see that.
Like you know what I mean? D'Lo Brown had his run. You know what I mean? Benny was on some D'Lo stuff. Like,
I can see that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I see that.
So I want to circle back. Sorry to cut you. I want to circle back. You said Benny's the best.
Yes.
I do like that.
Stand on it. Be ready.
Okay, so hold on for a second. Because I want to be clear here.
Okay.
Because Benny is a great storyteller.
Okay.
Right? Like, I see fucking movie. He's like Currency in that sense.
Yeah,
right.
A movie and you watch it, right? And, and in a sense, sometimes he's very technical, but he's just now picking up the technicality. Conway, on the other hand, isn't much of a storyteller, but he is very, very technical.
So this is my thing, though, right? The way you said that, how Conway's not really that much of a storyteller, and that's where Benny is supreme at, offers one skill. He never leaves you behind. You know what I'm saying? So everything that you said when he's talking to you, you can see it like a movie running in your head. Conway is like, ooh. You know, you hear the bars, and the bars are crazy. I'm not knocking them. I'm not saying anybody in Griselda's whack. I'm simply saying that the way Benny puts it together is at a speed that you can digest. You remember when Jay-Z blew up when he slowed down?
That's right.
Jay-Z blew up when he slowed down. He used to rap real fast. He blew up when and Benny masters that, and he gives you that grit. Like, I would say Benny is a mix between Mobb Deep, M.O.P., D-Block, and Wu-Tang. Griselda is a mix between that.
Okay, I can
but
see that.
But in all of those things, right? You got Benny's going to be the prodigy.
Yep.
Benny's going to be the Method
Benny's
Man.
Benny's the youngest, though.
But
Benny's
that,
the one.
I'm
I mean,
saying,
think
like,
about all of those artists. They soaked up all of the benefits.
They did.
And they knew they see.
Exactly.
And that's why I say I agree with you, but I think it's important to make that distinction. Because to say Benny's the best in Griselda, I think that was the design of Griselda. So
that's the talking point right
there. He always says West Side Gunn had the plan. He just played his position. He always say that shit.
True. That's a good thing to put together. But I'm just saying it's a toss up to me on different projects back and forth, whether it's Conway or Benny. But to me, my favorite is Benny.
I agree with you. Benny's my favorite, bro.
Ignorant.
Think about, like, you know, he's like, it's like a ninja master and his apprentice.
The student
Benny's
gets better than the master.
Benny's sharpening his sword.
Yeah, but Benny's master isn't Conway. It's West Side.
No, exactly.
It's
West Side. Yeah.
Conway learned from West Side too. He just
they are
older
related,
guy.
Right? They're like nephew, cousin, uncles, or something. Like
I don't
that.
Really know if it's true like that. You know how black people be. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. They family. They peoples. They've been down for a long time. They've been down long enough to recognize that they together. But I just give it to Benny. I just think Benny is a pure essence of hip hop that we need. His grittiness is almost on some like a DMX lyrical different type of flow, you know, but give you that same hard hitting grit. You can see the ferocity.
Oh yeah,
you can hear
absolutely.
The violence.
Yeah,
and but he puts a unique twist on it to give you those similes and the analogies that he works with, and is gonna punch you in the head for something that you didn't expect. You know, like Men Plus, the only rapper that would have sold in the Tupac era, like. Benny is.
Are they still signed to Shady?
I'm not sure what. Look at it.
Let me see.
I know Westside Gunn had like the connect with Shady, and maybe Griselda has that Shady imprint, and then they got their individuals. Like
yeah. That is a good question. Yeah. Let me see. Let me see who's all still on Shady.
Not to be the cameraman coming on the.
Oh no, you good? Oh no, but no, no. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, like, no. Conway is not though, but Benny and Westside Gunn is still on Shady Records.
Figured somebody would.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're still on Shady Records though. But this collab joint though with Conway though, on 38 Special, though, I love it because not only that though too, it gives them maneuver and you know just a. Allow all the people in their camp to shine though, but also too, I gotta shout out my dog, my nigga, Beating the Butcher's manager, Mr. Harlem Zone. Like this nigga, when I say he be working, he really be working. He,
well, yes, you got
yeah,
you.
No, yeah, he,
with
he's
a product like
yeah.
Benny, you gotta have a machine behind it.
Oh no, yeah, you know? Man,
pull up
and,
famous,
yeah, man, and he be doing this, yeah, he definitely be doing this fucking thing though.
Pull
man.
Up famous because I think this is one of those songs like if you're trying to get somebody to fall in love with an artist. This is one of them.
Oh no, yeah.
This is one of them. You know, speed it up so we can get our. They ain't getting no duckers off our ass and everything. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know I mean, right. middle of the first verse. You feel me?
Right.
Cause it's just the. You gotta just think about this. Like I'm gonna review and talk about it as we really go.
Really on. Felt fame to a nigga like me. You gotta think. Cause I'm from the cocaine era. We extinct, I curve a bougie bitch, but I put a project bitch in a mink. She loves street niggas, so we gon' fuck the first day we link, huh? Broken dreams on the street corner. I stayed down, so I'ma probably peek on them before I reach autumn. Get in the booth, I recall it, then record it. And with this kind of watch, it's hard to be normal.
You hear the energy? You man. Feel? Well, listen. There's a skill. Like that people ask why hip hop fizzle out, some of these rappers fizzle out so fast is because you may have lyrics, you may have beats, but you don't have charisma.
Exactly.
And Benny is full of charisma. And when he spits his bars, I believe him. Even if I know I don't care, I know you're not catching this many bodies, but I believe that you mean what you say, and that's so important to the act of entertainment. You have to be convincing. You know, people are going up there to try to say whatever they think just because they can catch a vibe, but they're not really capturing people.
They're Benny not, yeah, they're not. And I love the way, like you know, how he draws you in. And that's, like, one of the greatest parts of storytelling, and people forget that. Like, it's a way how the artists really drive you in and bring you into that, where it's just, like, make you feel like as if, like, you there and you with them. And that be the so dopest part of storytelling, though, man. But other than that, though, the album with Conway, 38 Special, scale 1 to 10, I'm going to give that a solid 8. That shit was a solid 8 for me. And it does have some it does have some replay value to it. I'm not even going to lie to you. Definitely have some replay value to it. So I would say go check it out. What you think, Jay? Think they should check that out, bro?
Hey, look, Griselda has something that is is appetizing to the fan of hip hop. So whether you go back for the buffet or you try to restaurant one time, you're gonna enjoy it.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. All right. Before we get into the classic corner, we got one more.
I think we should jump into it because I got a lot to say about the classic corner, man.
Man, we got one more though. But this one, Helling from the West Coast. None other than the producers, Futuristics, but better known as Mike and Keys, and the Paris Tapes. I'm not going to lie. 9 tracks, 22 minutes. I was fucking with it. It got a little fucking vibe to it. And I love the fact, like, their production has always been top tier. And if you guys don't know who Mike and Keys are, Mike and Keys are, like, they're, like, the huge, heavy sound that was behind Nipsey Hussle with Crenshaw, Mailbox Money, and his album Victory Lap. Like, Mike and Keys is, like, one of the dopest producers out there in Cali right now, though. Like, straight up, though. But we're going to get into this from Enter Dames Paris, What You Gonna Do, Addicted, Blanket, Popular, which was super dope, though. But I think the one that, like, you know, that really, really got me was this All Night Long with Buddy. And the samples, like, that they took from this, I enjoyed it. Freaking Mary Jane Girl All Night Long and Tom Brown Funkin' for Jamaica. That was, like, how you sample both of those and put it into one? Like, when I heard this, like, I could, like, hear this, windows down. It's still kind of hot, barbecue music, vibe music. I'm all like, yeah, I'm definitely fucking with this.
See, when it come to me, and I hear this, I'm kind of imagining the homies walking. A domino table going. Yeah, you know, I got you with the barbecue plate, but you know, somebody with a bench press in the middle of their front yard, like, but this old 80s style of DJing back when they used to blend, you know, when the way they used to blend on the West Coast was real that soulful, but then they blended up in a way that can be respected in the gangster community.
Yeah.
And, but then you put it real smooth over the top, you talk that gang and that slang on top of it, and you get something that's real smooth and not just entertaining, but authentic to the West Coast.
Oh, no, yeah, you know, absolutely.
And that's what I love about West Coast music. West Coast don't try to be nobody else but the West.
Yeah, they do them. They definitely
the
do
West
them.
The West, you don't see a lot of, like, you. I think Mustard might have been the most out-the-box-ish big-time West Coast producer, but for the most part, everything he did was still West, but it had a bop from different eras. But I'm just saying, like, West Coast producers are very, you know what I mean?
Oh, no,
they're loyal to the soil, you feel me?
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. And then right after that, Backseat. And then right after Backseat, another one they got with this. Yeah. He's solid with Smoke Dizza and Buddy. Right. Don't care, just don't lie to me. We got it, baby, yeah, we got it. It don't cost you nothing to be silent. That's my shit, bro. Like, that's my anthem for the rest of this year. Nigga, just be solid. Be solid.
You know, you want to know my anthem is this year? You actually going to appreciate it because I don't even like the album that this came off of. I like 4 songs on this album.
What?
Rich Spirit. Rich Spirit is that boy. Look, Rich Spirit just make me want to get dressed.
Yeah.
Like, Rich Spirit. Make me want to pour a little something, you know what I mean? Pour a little something on 3 ice cubes, you know, a little something brown, take a little sip, roll something up smooth, and get dressed real fly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Rich Spirit, that's my album. That's my theme song for the rest of the year. But can we chop about this classic one?
Oh, no, yeah, bro. We're about to get into it.
You know it's the GOAT. It's the GOAT.
No, yeah, man. No, we definitely know. We definitely gonna get into it, though, man. But this Mike and Keys Paris Tape, you definitely don't.
Dropping Mike and Keys.
Yeah,
that's
bro.
That's how much he rock with it.
Yeah, bro. Like, you
I
won't.
Gotta listen to it.
Yeah, you
it
won't be
like
disappointed. No, you're like, you won't be disappointed, though. And, like, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I don't be trying to throw it out, though, but they're my guys. So, like, they fucking solid. Some solid ass dudes, though, too, though. But y'all check that out, the Paris Tapes. You won't be disappointed. All right, it's about that time. Let's get into it. Let's get into this classic corner.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
This is my favorite segment on the show. I'm gonna be honest. This right here is my favorite segment on the show because we get to dig into the crates. And one thing that we've done in the history of the Lace Rhymes, you know, era that we're building, has been mainly classic albums. You know, been a few mixtapes in there. But mainly classic albums. But I want to highlight some more classic mixtapes. And this one,
yeah,
this one I think is a great one to start with because this mixtape wasn't only insanely dope with the albums that it was on, not the albums, but the songs that it utilized and the lyrics that he had, but it was a double disc, and it made Hov go look in the mirror. Hov himself said he had to see if he still, you know, wanted to do this after Lil Wayne dropped "Doe Is What I Got," and the album that I'm talking about is Drought 3, baby. And the F is for Phenomenal.
Yeah, and this is his sixth mixtape that was released April 13th, 2007. And it has acclaimed critics that was hailing the best mixtape of 2007, reported by MTV News, Crazy, and BET. Lil Wayne was officially named the hottest MC at that time. And it was also nominated for Mixtape of the Year at the Ozone Awards, but it did lose to Killer Mike, "I Pledge Allegiance to the Grind." And this mixtape was so big and popular, it even made the Billboard 200 number 27, and it was on Rolling Stone's list, top 50 albums of 2007. That's crazy. Rolling Stone considered that?
And what a mixtape is.
Right.
No, listen. Right. You got to understand. Crazy. This is Wayne on his MVP season. This is 2007. He did 100 songs that year that charted, right? He only gets credit for 70 of them. He did 100, right? I'm talking about what was on this. Well, this mixtape, first off, was "Doe Is What I Got."
Lab Republican with Juel.
No. I'm not even talking about that. Let me get this right. Okay. Right. We got when he flipped "Promise." We got "I Can't Feel My Face" when he was bringing in Juel Santana. What's called the "We Taking Over."
Damn, fuck with "Upgrade."
The "Upgrade." I'm telling you,
"Upgrade" was fire.
"Don't Stop, Won't Stop." The "You Know I Ride for My Motherfucking." You know, yeah. we got Wayne with that, with the "Ride for My Niggas." You got to understand, "Live from the 500 and Foe." Look, "Live from the 500 and Foe." It's Mr. Crazy Float, jumping like a bungee, no rope. Like, you got to understand, like, the way he was spitting, "When It Ain't Sunny, I Glow."
Man, hold on, bro.
"See, you can smell that ice smoke, and yep, I sip that lean. You hit me with that combination and make my eyes bleed. I'm a shark in the water, yep, I swim with the big, so I don't have time to deal with Willy the Squid. Lily pad niggas, look at the monster. You don't want to crash like La 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 Bamba.
See, it's me rolling in terror, and my new drop is very watermelon plum. Just call it fruit punch. I'm an old rapper getting new bucks, and all these new rappers is just new lunch." Like, you gotta understand what Wayne was doing with Drought 3. Like, look, if you tell me to make a list, now we made our list of the top mixtapes, but we couldn't use somebody initially more than once. Mm-hmm. If you tell me to make a top five, my top three is all Wayne. My top three is all Wayne, and Drought 3 is one. It's Dedication 2, Drought 3, and No Ceilings.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's my top three all time. And I'm sorry, but with Wayne is the GOAT for what he did in the mixtape game.
Yeah.
What he did to save Cash Money by his goddamn self.
Yep.
By his debt. Like, I think people forget about that part about Wayne's history. Mm-hmm. Everybody left. Cash Money.
Well, they were done.
Cash Money was by themselves. Mm-hmm. All they had was Wayne and a couple records that they had the rights to. And Wayne came out murderized it. Like, you got to understand, he got rid of his entire style, adopted a different style, maximized that style, and took everybody's motherfucking song and destroyed it. Like, what Wayne did was probably some of the biggest bully shit in rap entertainment, because when Wayne hopped on your song, it wasn't even your song no more.
It was over.
It wasn't even your song no more. Like, I'm telling you, I'm trying to hear anybody else that was on Kryptonite. Can't do it because he did on Dedication 2. You know, when he was running with Young Money and it was popping out on Dedication 3, when he had J Mills going crazy, you was just getting your taste to Drake and everything. What Wayne was doing when he had no ceilings, and there's a documentary on that. He recorded that in a hotel room.
And then the crazy
one night,
the crazy joint. Like for me, Wayne was already was on a run, but like what really gave him, like for me, I was like, this nigga is like, he's one of the greatest. When he flipped Knife Wonders, the Minstrel Brothers shit, I'm loving it. when his boy was like, "You better call it, man. Call it, call." That was my shit.
Miss,
when he did that,
Miss Butter Pecan Caramel God. Southern Belle. She hotter than the summer day in hell. I'm under a spell. I think it. Wait. Oh, wait.
Classic.
Bruh, man, look. That's fucking classic, Miss. Bruh.
Like I really can sit right here and just listen to Wayne with y'all. I'm not even gonna cap. Like, did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? The whole show. Like, what Wayne did for hip hop, for culture, and the way he popularized it, and the way he made it seem so easy, you know. I can't stand to see sometimes social media the way they talk about Wayne,
right?
Because like he's not the GOAT. Like when he says he's the best rapper alive, I believe him. Like I'm being honest. You didn't do anything where Wayne came out and said you made him go look in the mirror. He jumped on "Doe Is What I Got," a beat that you had first and you had ample time with, and
that's
destroyed
it.
You know what I'm saying? What he did with Walk It Out. Walk It Out, his Walk It Out version is better than Andre 3000's verse on the remix. Straight up.
Yeah.
Like one of the few people that can have a version of something that's better than 3 Stacks. You know, like what Wayne does and continues to do, and when you hear him on these different verses, you'd be like, oh, he still got it. Like when he was on Famous with Benny the Butcher. Mm-hmm. It, like, that's what a GOAT is.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you.
You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't agree with you more though, man. But I mean, this pick.
Drought 3.
Amazing.
Drop three.
Yes. Go ahead and refresh y'all ears and go ahead and check that out. Like, really, Drought 3 is really a fucking classic. And if Wayne is not in your top 5 or top 10.
Don't talk to me. Don't tell me.
I'm going to say how the young kids be saying, nigga, you're tweaking. You're tweaking. You are tweaking. But, yeah, it's about that time, man. We at the end. Jay, I had fun with you, man. Glad your ass back.
Hey, look, man, I spin the block when I need to. You feel me? And anytime we go talk about some Wayne, I'm going to be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
this, but it's hip hop, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I told y'all on the first episode I was on, this is Lace Rhymes Crew. You know what I mean? I'm in here. I'm out here. You know, we about to go break off. All of us going to go travel. We're going to do a little couple things. You know,
yes,
they going,
yes.
They going for hip-hop. I'm going for R&B. But, I'm going to see a GOAT, her goddamn
no,
self.
No, yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so. Next week we will be in Atlanta attending the Revolt World. And if you don't know what Revolt World is, it is a 3-day huge networking event. They're going to have performances. They're going to have panels. They're going to have networking where you could go in, talk to label execs, A&Rs, producers, one-on-one, and even corporate jobs that they're going to be hiring on the spot. And there's going to be so much information from 19 Keys to LaRusso to another one that I'm very excited about because I know you young folks, y'all into gaming. They're doing a gaming panel with DJ Head and T-Grizzly teaching you guys how to monetize your gaming off of Twitch. So, yeah, man, it's so much information. So, if you ain't there, I don't know what to say. Like you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to be somewhere else. But, you know, we spread out. We do different things.
Right.
We come back
to
the activity because I got something special for y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you for the supporters that's been rocking with us day one. And thank you for the new supporters. Every day we are getting a new follower on all our social media. But go ahead, tell a friend that tells another friend. And I mean, we're on all platforms.
Yep.
Spotify, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, iHeart, Podbay, Podbean, SoundCloud, Apple. You name it, we own it.
Hey.
You name it, we own it.
Hey.
You name it, we own it. What?
It's the Lace Rhymes Crew, y'all.
What?
It's the Lace Rhymes Crew, y'all.
What?
It's the Lace Rhymes Crew, y'all.
What?
It's the Lace Rhymes Crew.
But yeah, man. But until then, this is your boy Skeeter Steve.
It's your man Jay.
And Lace Rhymes, we out.
Deuces.